Okay, here it comes. Second Amendment Tuesdays with Attorney Penny Dean right here on Bulldog Live on the Pulse. 1-866-823-1077.
Now, I know the Constitution, and it gives me certain rights that I will never, ever give up. At least not without a fight. So if anybody's even thinking they're gonna take my guns away, like the good old boys down in Gonzales, I got one thing to say. Come on, make my day.
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you think you can. Come and take it, but I warn you, you'll have to pry it from my cold dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it.
One shot at a time.
Steve Voss with Come and Take It here on Bulldog Live on the Pulse. That's our introduction to Attorney Penny Dean for Second Amendment Tuesdays. Hi, Penny. How are you?
I am well. How are you?
Oh, boy. Looking forward to another packed episode here.
It's going to be fun because the question is, who's policing the police?
Oh, this ought to be good.
And the whole thing is, now most recently, if anyone read the editorials in both the Union Leader and the Concord Monitor, take care, drop the camera and back away. And it's really an interesting case that happened in Newcastle. It happened to a gentleman by the name of Adam Whitman on July 4th. Now, the Portsmouth police were called for an alleged underage drinking party, and they were policing the police, because remember the case in Nashua where the police officers didn't treat a young man in his home very fine?
Right.
And they were audio and video recording. It turned out that their version of events was a little bit different than his version of events.
Mm-hmm.
And he just happened to have audio and video that proved his version of events. But then they said, great, you've got that, let's see it. Oh, now we're going to charge you with illegal recording. And he said, well, gee, I happen to have these signs in all my windows. And they went, you know, because the bottom line is, everyone has to worry about what's called federal law and state law. And each state has a different law pertaining to what's called wiretapping and recording. And then we have the federal law. And everyone thinks, well, wait a minute, you know, I call all the time to Sears or wherever the heck you call your credit card, and you'll hear this recording. This call may be monitored or recorded for quality assurance purposes,
yes,
you know, or some such thing. And that's what's called implied consent. In other words, if you stay on the line, you have impliedly consented to having your voice recorded, because
mm-hmm.
they've told you if you stay on the line, it's going to be recorded.
Yes.
If you don't want to have your voice recorded, you hang up and don't call that number. And so the problem is, in real life, what I call real life, okay, there's actually a federal case, and of course I can't think of the site throughout the show, maybe my brain will give me the case, that basically says when the police are doing their duty, which means they're in uniform and they're acting as police officers, you can video record them. Absolutely, every day of the week.
You know, and it's funny because I think that there was a recent ruling, and I'm trying to remember where it was even, that there was some people that were filming police from across the street, and they weren't in the way of the police work that was going on, and these people were in uniform. I forget what the circumstance was. The cops came over to them and said, hey, knock it off. They said, oh, we can stand here and videotape you, and turns out that the people that were doing the videotaping were cleared of any charges.
Oh, absolutely. And you can. Now, the problem comes into the audio taping, okay? That's where you get yourselves in a little more hot water, if you will.
Okay.
Okay, so for example, what's really interesting is they can audio record you. If they know, like, for example, police officers have audio and video recording devices in their vehicles. Many of them do, okay?
Right.
And they carry this portable microphone, so when they walk up to the car, they say to you, just so you know, this staff is being audio and video recorded. But they say it so quick like this that nobody hears them, right?
Right.
And you're already under stress because the police pulled you over. And did they technically say it to you? Yeah. But they said it in a low tone, so matter of fact that you don't get it, right?
Mm.
And so it's presumed that you agreed to that. So tell me what the difference is if I put a sticker in my truck and said, all people that come up to this vehicle are being audio and video recorded. Is there any different than what the officer just did?
You know, that is a very good question. I like this.
Think about it. It's there's no difference. But the other thing that I have is that to video and audio tape them in the performance of their duties, I think, first of all, it keeps them honest. But if I were an honest and good police officer behaving in a lawful and proper way, I would welcome it because there could be no false charges brought against me, right?
Yes.
You could. The woman couldn't say he tried to stick his hand down my blouse or that he did this or did that because we'd have a video and audio recording of what happened.
Hey, look, I've been there and done that with this audio recording thing. One time I was fighting a ticket that I felt was unjust, said I was speeding. I was not. And I knew I was not speeding because I was looking at the speedometer because I knew this officer was following me. So why would I be stupid and exceed the speed limit, right?
Yeah, because it'd give him a reason to pull you over.
Right. So I got into court and I argued, no, I cannot be charged with this. I wasn't doing it. Here's what happened. Well, the officer said something completely different about what happened that day and what conversation allegedly took place between he and I. So another time, and I was in another state, and I was on a reporting assignment, so I had my tape recorder with me, and I had one of the big old tape recorders, the cassette recorders, right? And I got pulled over, and I'm like, what the heck's going on? The officer comes up to me, and he starts talking to me. I'm saying nothing. He says, well, you know that guy that you were following really, really close there? And I just looked at him, didn't say anything. And I had the tape running, and I had it right on the dashboard with the red light on so you could see it, right?
Yep.
And then I said, you know, I just want to let you know that I am recording this entire conversation should I feel the need that I have to go to court over whatever it is that may come out of this. And he just looks at that, and he, you know, asks me another question or two, and he comes back later and says, okay, I'm just giving you a verbal warning. You know, and you don't need to be so paranoid, he said as he left.
Hold it. It's paranoid when we do it.
When right.
they do it, it's what?
Covering their butt.
Yeah. And that's exactly it. And so I tell people all the time in New Hampshire, because of the argument about audio, if you can get their lips, if you will, if you can get good face shots full on, if you ever needed it, you know what you can do? You can hire a lip reader. I'm actually serious. I had a case where a gentleman was in lockup, okay? And they alleged he did certain things. He'd been arrested and charged. Actually, it was Stuart Urey out of Milford. Very famous case I had. And miraculously, during the time that he says these officers said X, Y, and Z to him, the audio in the booking area wasn't working during that time period. Darn. Amazing how it just broke. Just broke. So I was going to bring lip readers in to say, okay, we'll certify these people as lip readers, and they can tell us what got said then. Right? Because there's more than one way to skin a cat.
Right.
And so the bottom line is that why are they afraid of having them? And there are certain police departments, which I don't have the records on yet, so I won't mention the town name, but when I do get all the records, we will mention the town name. They put audio and video recording devices in their police cruisers. It's an amazing thing that happened. That same brand and type are in use all across the country, but in this town, they kept breaking and wouldn't work. It was horrible, the record they had in this particular town. Isn't that funny?
Huh.
Now, they put them in all sorts of other places, and they work perfectly, other normal breaks and bruises. But in this place, all the officers were opposed to them, and by God, they had horrible trouble with them.
Hmm.
So what you have is some individuals and some departments are absolutely resistant to doing. They say, oh, it's a pain in the butt. Oh, it's this. Oh, it's that. But think about it. If you really and truly are behaving properly, it really would take care of a lot of problems. You know,
well,
takes...
I would think, too, that if you're out in public, let's say I'm working as a news reporter and I'm walking down the street and someone starts harassing me. You know, they start coming up. What's going on? And I stick a microphone out and I'm recording. Am I breaking a wiretap law? Because I didn't just ask him or give any clear indication I was going to be interviewing. I'm just sticking the microphone out saying, hey, I want to get this on tape. Or what if Channel 9 is chasing somebody, you know, like an FRM mortgage executive out of federal court, you know, chasing them down the street saying, hey, come talk to us. You know, is that wiretapping? I mean, what?
Well, I think, and that's a really important question because hold it. When we're in public, okay, you presume, like when I'm walking down Main Street in Concord, don't you presume that anybody, like if I'm talking to my cell phone, I have to presume that anybody within ear voice proximity can hear me,
yes.
Right? They can hear what I'm saying. And so it's not a stretch to think that you could be broadcasting live what I'm saying on the radio as I'm walking down the street, because anybody could hear me.
Mm-hmm.
You have to know that. And so that's absolutely a good question. And to me, if you continue to talk when you put a microphone up to somebody's mouth, okay?
Yeah.
That is absolutely implied consent, because you know how they have, for example, someone is in court for some reason, and they're walking out of court, right? And the reporters stick the microphone in their face and try to say something provocative to get them to respond to what's happened.
Right.
How many times do you hear them say, no comment?
Right.
Or and they keep walking, right?
Mm-hmm.
Put their head down and keep walking. If you were able to charge with wiretapping with that, okay, don't you think those defendants would be calling the police saying, that reporter, he recorded me saying no comment?
I got you.
Right?
I follow that, yeah.
Yeah, and so why is it then, okay, that, for example, this fine fellow, this Adam Whitman of Newcastle, that he was charged, okay, and Michael Gannon with wiretapping, you know, after he bought surveillance video from his home security in Nashville. Now, that one they dropped, okay? But the bottom line is, how different behavior would we have, particularly because some police officers take it as this young punk kid, 18 years old, I can just treat him however I want to.
Gotcha.
I mean, anybody who does any type of defense work will have had cases where the officers have treated younger kids, quite frankly, not so nice.
You know, it's funny this topic should come up here. We're talking with Penny Dean on Second Amendment Tuesdays here on Bulldog Live, 1-866-823-1077. This topic of videotaping the police is actually part of a story on abcnews.com where they're taking a look at several cases around the country where they're seeing a frequency in people being prosecuted for videotaping the police. And the first story that they start with, and I saw this videotape myself. There was a guy who was on a crotch rocket going on Interstate 95 throughout Maryland, and he's doing like 80 miles an hour throughout, on the interstate, weaving in and out of traffic, popping wheelies, you know, being a real stupid jerk, okay?
Yep.
So anyway, and he had a camera on his helmet. Well, little known to him, when he got off the interstate, up comes this car, you know, just a regular, ordinary car, and the guy in plain clothes came out with a gun, with a 9mm or something, coming right at him.
That'd scare me. That'd make me put that bike into high gear and hope I could do some
He was ready to take off, and then the guy finally, you know, put his hand on the bike and said, "State police, don't move." And then the guy's like, "Oh, okay, well, gee, I think I'll stop right now," right?
Yep.
But up until that point, you know, the officer, you know, here's a guy, you know, a car cutting him off, guy jumps out, he has no idea who he is, doesn't know him from Adam from Steve, and then he's holding the gun. What do you think you're going to think, right, or want to do? So anyway, so he turns out, not only did he get in trouble for pulling his Annex on the interstate, which is fine, but now he's in trouble because he violated Maryland's wiretapping law, and he could face 16 years in prison for this violation. And this guy's a 25-year-old staff sergeant with the Air National Guard.
And you know what's important about that case? I don't know. I'm a diehard biker. Okay, diehard. I've got a Beamer right now. I have had Hondas my whole life. I've run, you know, dirt bikes, everything. Anybody who road races or rides their bike at Loudon Raceway,
yeah,
they have bike cameras mounted on helmets as a learning tool, as a teaching tool, because those bike cameras, like the gentleman in Maryland had, tons and tons and tons of racers and recreational riders and motorcyclists use them, because what it does is it allows an instructor to critique your techniques after the fact.
Okay.
Okay. And so the whole thing is that kid who had that on probably didn't even think about it. Okay. Probably mm-hmm. didn't even think, oh my God, you know,
yeah.
That I'm illegally recording this police officer, because to him, it's a teaching tool. It's no different than you have a pen and paper as a reporter, if you will. You don't think your pen and paper is illegal anywhere. It's a teaching tool. It's part of your job.
Well, he did post this video on YouTube, and I guess that maybe that's why they want to make an example out of him. I don't know.
They did, actually, and I think that the reason they did that is because the officer, I've seen that, he isn't very nice to him.
No.
He isn't very nice to him at all. And here's the bottom line. Nobody can outrun a bullet. I mean, 9mm, you're running 12, 14, 1,500 feet per second. You know, bike might run fast, but doesn't quite run that fast. And I'll tell you what, anybody put a gun to me, I'd be scared to death.
Well, you know, and here's the other thing, too. And this came up in the Linda Tripp case, because, do I remember this case well, when she was brought up on the wiretapping charges as well. Because the conversation between Linda Tripp and Monica Lewinsky. Monica Lewinsky was either in Washington, D.C., or she was in Virginia. I can't remember where she was. But Linda Tripp was at her home in Howard County, Maryland. And Maryland's got this wiretapping law. You know, you got to get the consent, right, of at least one of the parties.
Yep.
Well, anyway, they tried to prosecute her, and the case ended up falling apart. But here was a case where Linda Tripp was doing her duty as a federal employee under Title 18 of the United States Code, which is the criminal statutes, which one of the things says in there, if you are aware of a crime and you don't report it, you are just as guilty as those who are committing the crime. This crime in question being the President of the United States committing perjury.
You know. It's huge. Oh, I know. They put on what's called these affirmative obligations, making someone report other people. And that's, and the other thing is you have to know it's illegal yourself before you can report someone for doing something illegal.
Right, exactly. Isn't that nice? So anyway, I mean, after Linda Tripp lost her job and her reputation and tons of money, and by the way, I did meet one of her attorneys in another case, which actually would turn out to be a Second Amendment case and another self-defense case later on down the line. But,
oh, wow, I didn't know about that.
Yeah, I met one of her lawyers, and I was like, well, congratulations. He's like, oh, boy, tell me. It just cost her a ton of money. I said, I bet it did. And it really did. You know, he wasn't bragging about it. He said, it's a shame, you know? So.
Yeah. And that's exactly, that's always the problem, you know? It's a really tough life in that area.
It is. Well, anyway, 1-866-823-1077. We'll continue our conversation with Penny Dean. We'll have an update, too, of what's happening in the town of Nottingham with their guns at work policy there for town employees. Oh, there's more to this story. This is a gift that doesn't stop giving, does it?
No. We're going to reconsider.
Okay, we'll talk about it next on Bulldog Live on the Pulse.
Bulldog Live will continue after these messages, live on the Pulse.